It's a football fill-in, and it's been another Premier League weekend of action. And it seems to me like nobody actually really wants to win the league this season, apart from Manchester United, who have now won 13 games at home in all competitions. There's going to be a bouting end to the season. Come on, let's get into it. Okay, let's get into it then. We are joined by usual guest Mark Goldbridge. Mark, how are you, mate?
Really good, great weekend, and Man United won, can't go wrong.
Absolutely buzzing. Dave Watson, super Dave Watson. We all love Dave Watson. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Looking forward to the conversation
I'm
this morning.
Looking at flat cap, mate. You look like a geezer, a proper geezer. Before we get into the show today, in this cup here, right, I have got a chicken and lemongrass cup of soup. And it is world-class, lads. Honestly, this is a game-changer.
Thanks for the water.
If that had croutons in it, I swear down, that is undefeated. And secondly, and probably a little bit more importantly, we've got an announcement to make because the Fozcast is doing its first ever, ever live show. It's this Friday, the 10th of February, 9 p.m. we are kicking off the Fozcast at the King's Place at King's Cross. You know what we're going to do. We're going to be like down in pints. We'll be doing quizzes. We'll be doing some keepy-uppies on stage. Mr. Mark Goldbridge is going to be there with us as well. What are your keepy-uppies like?
Good.
Really?
Yeah.
What are your downing skills like?
Good.
That was a pint, by the way.
Yeah. That's why I hesitated.
Anyway, tickets are available now. Get in the link in the description down below. Come and see us on Friday. It'll be an absolute belter. Right, lads. Come on, let's get into it. We're going to go for Everton versus Arsenal. 1-0 to Everton. I could see this one coming. Kick us off with your debrief of the game.
Well, at the end of the day.
No, I'm not doing that. No, we were talking about this before, weren't we? I really thought that they would get a draw. I didn't think they would win. I thought they'd get a draw. It's we can't talk every week about how competitive the Premier League is and then go, well, I didn't expect that to happen. It's at Goodison Park, which is a fantastic ground. Daichi is a perfect manager for them.
Yeah.
Those players would have been absolutely up for it. Arsenal, have they fell off a little bit after that Man City Cup game? Haven't played for a week. And I think 1-0, Tarkowski scoring a goal. It was written, you could write that script over the last 10 years perfectly, but it would have been Burnley's Dyche, Tarkowski scoring at Turf Moor. He's just took it to Goodison Park. And I think Everton probably did it a little bit too late, but they'll definitely stay up now.
What?
100%. I agree. I didn't think they'd win the game.
Yeah.
But Dyche, real Premier League experience. Every team knew, playing his old Burnley teams, what to expect. Horrible game. I thought Arsenal did what Arsenal do, but Dyche turned Everton into a machine. The running stats, the effort, the enthusiasm. In a week, he'd just gelled the whole club together. The fans were on side. They had a little moment about the board before the game. But when it were kick-off, they were with them 11 players.
Good, wasn't
it? And it were really phenomenal. And he scored from a set piece, which is typical them, in-swinging ball, McNeil. Arsenal zonal setup. Yeah, Decore just pins the last zone, centre-half, and he comes above all
the guard. Is that what it was like? So as a goalie coach, when you were sort of like at Southampton, for example, right? When you're playing against a Sean Dyche team, do you know exactly what's coming? Yeah, it's as simple as that. It's as black and white. Yeah?
You know what's coming, but it's still difficult
to defend. To do it,
in-swinging ball, either under the bar or deep for the runners. Your last zone, he's got to be good. Or he's got to be aware that he's going to get pinned like Decore does on Saliba.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when you go zonal, there's definitely a mismatch. And Odegaard takes Tarkowski, but he's got to run. But the whole thing only happens because Decore does Saliba on the back zone. Because normally Saliba would be free. And Odegaard would have just had a little bounce on him. But
do you know what? If Sean Dyche was to have a dream on Friday night, right, before this game...
Wouldn't you just love to know what Sean Dyche dreams about?
I would love to know.
I'd love to know what he dreams
about. Running hard.
Running hard.
God knows.
Bleep test. Did you see it, by the way? They were doing bleep tests in the week. How mad is that? Like, as a footballer, genuinely, bleep tests get brought out pre-season and pre-season only. That is the only ever time you're doing it. And
unless you got beat 6-0,
maybe. Unless you got pumped, absolutely battered, right, and it's the Monday, then you might do a bleep test. But bleep test is reserved literally for pre-season only. And then when he signs for Everton, and I see him doing bleep test, I think, he means business here. That's Everton safe. No, literally safe.
But you know he means business when you see the pictures. They're doing the bleep test. He's in his T-shirt, shorts, -5. Come on.
Hear what he said after the game, though? He said, it's a good result, but rest assured, they'll be in on Monday morning and I'll be working them hard. And it's like, I bet the players are terrified of him if they lose. Rest assured, I'll be giving a right good kicking in that dressing
room.
Like
you say, though, they are terrified of him. They will be terrified of him. And there's a reason why their running stats are so good on a Saturday afternoon. Mm. The reason why Everton's running stats haven't been so good in the previous Saturday afternoons is because they haven't had a manager where they're genuinely shit scared of that if they don't put the work in, he's going to get after them. Sean Dyche has to be champ of the week for me this week, by the way. I know we do it every week and we're always picking this. It could be him, it could be him. There's a few nominations it could be. Sean Dyche, for me, it has to be him. Getting off to that start was world-class, wasn't it? What a guy.
And I think as well, that we've got to stop this whole giving Gerrard a job at Villa. Lampard's had the Chelsea and the Everton job. Yeah. As players, they deserve the respect, but they're different jobs. Management is not playing. And, you know, look at that contrast between Everton and Lampard and Dyche, who's never played for England. He isn't one of Premier League's top scoring midfielders. He's just a bloody good manager who knows how to manage.
Yeah.
Club chairman need to stop looking at this and start looking at specialists.
Yeah, I love it. I don't know if you saw this as well. We're going to move on in a minute to the Man City Tottenham game, but he did a clip ages ago of like a tactical masterclass. Have you seen this? Of him describing of what he wants his team to do, sort of in possession, out of possession. Dead simple stuff, isn't it? Dead simple stuff, but it worked to a T against Everton.
The game was just, they were just so different. They're so different. The wingers got the ball and they crossed it, but when they crossed it, there were three or four men in the box. Yeah. So they have a chance. They've got Calvert-Lewin, who's a big centre forward. They just play the percentages really well. They didn't play overly long balls, for sure, but when it's wide, it's coming in the box, and I want bodies in the box.
Boom.
Very simple. That's how we're going to score goals.
Yeah.
But Dyche, we've talked about it, he's been and done it, and it's tough to be a Premier League manager, and he knew what were required in that game, and the players know what's required, for sure.
It's a masterstroke getting him in Everton, well done. Sean Dyche, you are the champ of the week. Right, we're going to move on, lads, we're going to go to the Spurs-Man City game. I'm sure you watched this yesterday. You've got something to say about big Erling Haaland, haven't you?
Yeah, I think Man City are a better team without Erling Haaland, and I also think that if Jesus had stayed and Haaland had stayed at Dortmund, Man City would be winning the league by 10 points.
Really?
And I think that, and people go mad, but I think I'm 100% right, because Man City are not playing like they have done for the last 2 years, and if they kept Jesus and they didn't have Haaland, they'd still be doing the same things last year that people couldn't deal with. We've spoke about it a few times, haven't we? I said City are vulnerable this year because they are going through transition. Yeah. They definitely are. They're adapting to a new way of playing. United did it a couple of weeks ago. Spurs did it yesterday. If you shut Haaland down, you shut City down. They've got nothing else. I think Mahrez hit the bar, Grealish hit one over the bar.
Nothing major,
but they're
though,
not chances.
There?
If they go in, you're like, what a finish. They're not creating chances. And I think that, Man City have become a vehicle for Haaland. They've not become a vehicle for success at the moment. Like, Haaland's having a great season. Yeah. He's going to be top scorer. He's world class. But it's a bit like Ronaldo with United last year. It's about, you know, he personally is doing really well, but are Man City a better team with him in the team? And at the moment, he should have been subbed off with 20 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Like, they're so predictable. He plays every minute. He plays as the number nine and he never gets subbed off. I would have subbed him off with 20 minutes because Spurs were comfortable. Try something different. It's like chucking the big man on it for the last 20 minutes.
Stick it in the mixer.
Put a false nine on. Get the different, you know, keep it on the ground. They just.
What do you think about this? Because I can see where Mark's coming from here a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Because I think, like, Man City of the past, yeah, you know what you're going to get out of Man City. It's relentless. It's passing. It's working you. It's getting you out of position, getting it behind you, putting it back. Boom. Have that. Simple as that. I think they have become a little bit more one-dimensional today. And I think Christian Romero, I thought he was world-class yesterday, by the way. He played that physical game against Erling Haaland, and it was like, nah, I'm going to give it to you today. At one point, I saw him picking Erling Haaland up, and I'm thinking, you're up for this today. Do you agree with what Mark's saying here?
I think Haaland is an unbelievable centre-forward, but I think he has lost a little bit of identity now. And teams are not going to let Man City play the ball in behind and use his strengths, letting him run behind like early in the season when he scored at West Ham. I think now, low block in midfield or a very deep block, he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
No. And not playing De Bruyne yesterday, when normally it's a little cut back and he flips them in.
Why isn't De Bruyne starting this game, by the way? So, it didn't look like he had no injury, no knock or anything like that.
You're not crossing the balls for him. So he is isolated. I think I saw once yesterday where he came really deep in midfield, had a really great layoff, and he spun in behind. It might have been Dyer, I can't remember who the centre-half was. It was an unbelievable run. But City didn't play the ball in behind. They wanted to play short. They never got in behind Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
And three centre-halves were so comfortable. And to be fair to Højbjerg, who I used to work with at Southampton, protecting him from...
Yeah,
front
he was fantastic.
He was unbelievable.
I'll give him man of the match.
Unbelievable. he's a proper ball winner, and he played the ball simple yesterday. It looked like a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
But City, Lloris never had any saves to make.
Nothing.
They never got in behind to really stretch him.
Super Jackie Grealish, what are you saying about him?
Yeah, I mean, just picking up what Dave said there, I think if you're not going to put De Bruyne in the team, and Cancelo used to get a lot of assists, where are the crosses coming from? Yeah, but Grealish, I like Grealish. I think he went to the wrong Manchester club. I've said that a few times. He knows, he's so clever, you know, he leaves his leg for a foul all the time. But I don't think that helps City, because all he does is win a free kick.
Yeah, stops
and
it,
City
slows, it down.
Slows City down.
Yeah.
City aren't very good at set pieces. So I think, you know, almost, Grealish is almost a weakness in that team, even though I thought he was one of their better players, because he slows them down all the time. He wins so many free kicks. He's so clever. He just leaves his foot every time.
He knows exactly
but
what
it doesn't
doing.
Suit Man City, because Man City want to play fast, move the ball, pull players out. And obviously, every time there's a free kick, you reset yourself, don't you? You sort yourself out. You mark your men. You have a breather. Grealish doesn't work in
that. Let's give Spurs a little bit of love then, okay? Because it was a fantastic win for them. We've got to start with Harry Kane. 267 goals. New highest scorer for Tottenham Hotspur, beating Jimmy Greaves' record. He's just relentless, isn't he? He's the sort of player Manchester United need, you know, he is.
Well, he is at the moment, Martial injured. I mean, the thing about Harry Kane is that goal wasn't clean, was it? He bounced it in.
That's what it is.
And he won in the second half where he got between the two defenders
and ricocheted it through. I mean, Edison out quick for that, by the way.
He is fantastic. I mean, may well end up at Manchester United, but... they're back in the top four, race Spurs now. Yeah. They're just Spursy, aren't they? I mean, you know, they played really well yesterday. I normally find them quite boring to watch, but against Man City, you've got to play deep, like Dave said. And I thought, you know, Højbjerg and Bentancur, they knew exactly when to punch in. And they probably could have made it too. I thought in the second half, they probably needed that second goal. And they had opportunities, they just didn't quite do it, but they got over the line in the end.
Harry Kane, give me your thoughts on Harry Kane from a goalkeeper's perspective. When you're facing against Harry Kane, what are you thinking?
Well, you're in big trouble, aren't you? I think the goal straight away, he knows Edison's, as Højbjerg plays him in, Edison's coming to his left, so he's obviously going across to his right. And it doesn't need to be a clean finish. This is where people get it all wrong. He could have side-footed it in down to Edison's left hand. Edison's moving to his left. He's got a fair chance of saving it.
Yeah.
Come back across him. Early finish, first time. It doesn't need to be clean. It doesn't need to be in the corner.
Find the net.
Your body weight's not allowing you to make that save back across.
Yeah,
but he knows all this.
Yeah.
And it was a great finish. But like we mentioned, Højbjerg, really high press. City could have gone in behind just to change it up a little bit. They kept allowing them and allowing them. Højbjerg nicks it, little pass, and the one man you want to finish first time, Kane.
Super Harry Kane.
Super Harry Kane.
Fantastic win for Spurs. Right, lads, we're going to move it on here. A little bit of a left field one here, all right? I know people kind of accuse me of a bit of bias for always going for the big teams, and I understand what you're saying. It's nice to give a little bit of air time to some of the smaller teams, some of the teams that have been doing really well this season, right? So I'm going to go for Brentford, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Brentford 3, Southampton 0. We'll start with Brentford because we've got to give them some love, all right? Because you said this a minute ago, and I totally agree with you, all right? I looked at the fixtures on Saturday, and the one to me which I thought, well, if I was a betting man, I'm going to put a bet on here, an accumulator or something, the first team that I would have in that would be Brentford. I'm thinking they are winning that game 100% of the time. They are brutal. They are relentless. They will just go there and they'll finish Southampton off an absolute doddle. They're lovely to watch at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, you know, where do you draw the line on who the manager of the year is? Because obviously Arteta gets a lot of love, but I think what Brighton... Brentford and Fulham are doing a fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, for Brentford to be in that position...
seventh in the league now.
But how much respect are we putting on Brentford and Thomas Frank and that team that were saying Brentford against Southampton to home banker?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this was a team that, you know, they're just unbelievable. And they're now in a position in the Premier League where we're looking at them and going, oh, yeah, they'll win that. They'll win that to nil.
And well, that's nine games undefeated in the Premier League now. And in that run, they've played against the teams of Man City, Liverpool and Spurs. That's nine games without a defeat. For a team like Brentford, you've been at teams like Brentford. Do you know what I mean? That in itself, to have that momentum is worth its weight in gold, isn't it?
They've got that momentum now. Thomas Frank certainly deserves incredible credit for what they've done. But every team going to that new stadium...
Yeah.
And playing Brentford away from home,
you know what you
knows
getting.
It's a real tough game, and they do play the percentages, but they've got some real good footballers in there.
Yeah, it's true.
But a bit like we spoke about Everton earlier, they know when it's wide, it's coming in the box. They really play for the set plays and getting things high up the field. But Ben Mee scores from what Southampton would have presumed is a long throw. They work it short, get an overload, cross in the box.
Brave
He's
header,
free.
To be fair, weren't
what
it?
An
good.
Incredible
Lovely,
header.
Yeah.
But that's what Brentford are brought up on. But it is really tough to play. But they've got good quality players to actually play good football.
Yeah.
To play real good football.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
They stick to the game plan, and you know what's coming. The pass for the second goal to create it on the outside of the foot is incredible pass.
It is great what they do, because when they beat us and when they beat Liverpool, I think they had we had 70% possession. Liverpool had 70% possession. Like you say, they play the percentage game, don't they? They know what they're doing without the ball.
Exactly.
And then when they get the moments, however they get the moments, they're just quick and clinical, and they know what they're doing. It's very effective.
All right, let's talk about Southampton, okay? Because I've got a little bit of a beer in my bonnet about Southampton at the minute, okay? Not necessarily Southampton, the manager, Nathan Jones, right? He did it a few weeks ago. He came out after the game and he said a few things where I'm thinking, I don't like the way you're sounding here. It's like you're palming all the blame off onto the players, right? They go and get pumped 3-0 yesterday, on Saturday, sorry. And he comes out afterwards and basically says, you know, that's not what my team do. You know, I haven't implemented my style on the play. That's not what we do. I've pandered to this club a little bit. And then he starts going off on one and talking about all the success he had at Luton. And statistically, he was one of the best managers in Europe, apparently. And he did it on a shoestring budget. And we did this. And we were high tempo and we were high pressure. And I'm thinking, I don't see any of that. Why are you talking about Luton now? What are you on about? You know what I mean? Get behind your lads. Show them a way of playing football. Don't go blaming it on anything else. Ridiculous, isn't it?
I don't know. I think he's doing a good job.
You're a dickhead. You are some sort of a dickhead. I was fuming watching this interview. Honestly,
you're fuming now, I can see.
Honestly, I was watching it thinking, I've been in that position where we're getting pumped week in, week out, right? The last thing I want is my manager to be coming out and saying stuff like that. I'd be thinking, nah, mate, you're throwing us under the bus here.
Talking really from a player's perspective and what it's like on the coalface, in the dressing room. You know you're bottom of the league.
Yeah.
You know you've just got beat 3-0. What you need is some continuity in terms of we're in it together and things will stay privately in that dressing room and we've got to try and push on. Yes, it's a poor result. We all know it's a poor result, but there's only us in this dressing room can fix it. And don't make it more difficult by isolating potentially yourself in that situation.
They're gone. They're the relegated.
I think that's what I mean. You look at someone like Everton who've done it a clever way, a savvy way. They've gone and got a manager, proven track record. He might not be the most glitzy or glamorous or whatever. The stats might not back him up or anything like that. But you know what you're going to get from Sean Dyche. And then Southampton have gone and done it this way, and I'm just thinking, nah, what are you doing?
They're bloody lucky, though, because Everton took too long, and, you know, Dave was saying before we went live, you know, Southampton could have got Dyche. You know, they had that opportunity. When did they get Nathan Jones in? A month ago?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Everton acted quickly. They didn't. They've got the right decision.
Do you agree with me for my nomination for Chump of the Week then this week?
Yeah. As long as it's not Casemiro, I'm happy.
No. Do you know what? Casemiro is a shambles of a red card. We're going to talk about that in a minute anyway. But Nathan Jones, sorry, mate. You can't come out and say stuff like that. Chump of the Week. Simple as that. Let's take it to Man United then, yeah? All right? Let's take it to Man United. Let's start with the red card then. Come on, give me your thoughts on that.
I'm going to summarise it really, really quickly. Basically, VAR shouldn't be used for that. Even if you think it's a red card, you've got to look at everything. Otherwise, you make yourself look complete prats. In my opinion, that VAR guy has gone, Andre, look what I've seen. Oh, I'm going to look really clever here. Come on, have a look. So he looks at it and goes, oh, I'm going to look really good. Sends him off. But then fans are cleverer than them. Fans have got different camera angles. And more importantly, fans will go and look at the whole incident.
Yeah, they've got time.
And AU does worse. So for me, that's why we're not rugby, we're not NFL. Deal with that after the game.
Yeah.
Give him a ban after the game and give AU a ban after the game if you want to, but they wouldn't do that. So I just think it's really poor. And a lot of people go, well, it's a red because he's touched his neck. Fine, if you think it's a red, I don't. But ultimately, AU did something worse. Why has that been missed? Oh, he didn't have time. Well, he shouldn't be looking at the other one in the first place.
Yeah. Well, if one of your players gets sent off for that, what are you saying?
I'd be fuming on the side. I would
rubbish,
be really,
isn't it?
Really fuming. And it is all about the angles and whatever. But like the VAR just asked him to look at one incident. You have to look at the whole thing there and realise it's just handbags.
Yeah.
There's been a rough tackle. Everybody's come to protect the situation. There's 20 players in there in the end. But there's no red card required. Maybe if he didn't have the black gloves on, we might not have seen it. But he never really grabbed him. Hughes never reacted. They had a little cuddle after. You've got to see the player's perception of it as well.
Yeah. And it's bloody slow-mo again. I hate slow-mo replay. Why are they doing it in slow-mo?
It's crazy.
He's not gripping his neck. He's not throttling him, is he? He's like, it's like he's put his arms on his, like, on his, just on the top of his shoulders almost. And Will Hughes, like I said, I know Will Hughes. I played with Will Hughes at Watford for a bit. And he is the biggest wind-up merchant, right, in the world. One of the best I've ever seen, right? He's world-class at it, in fact. And I know for a fact he'd have been getting under the skins. But like I say, the fact that he's having a laugh with them afterwards, yeah, the players will know he's a wind-up merchant. They'll be like, you're a dickhead. Stop being a dickhead.
But the referee should know that.
The referee has to know that. That's part of your job, knowing the players.
But when he sees the reaction of Will Hughes after,
yeah,
just roll it on two more frames, you know there's no malice. You know there's nothing.
This is the thing where I think if they're going to do this properly then and send Casemiro off for that, and if he ends up getting a free game ban here, by the way, this is a disgrace. Yeah, Man United are going to be missing one of their best players for three games for something that should never be a red card.
But you know what? I wouldn't give Schlupp a red card, but he goes and scores, right? He has got no intention of doing anything other than chucking Anthony 5 metres. Now,
if Anthony bangs
his head and he's knocked out,
massive problem.
Then that, you know, that's violent conduct.
Yeah, well, there's so many things worse.
He didn't use his hands on his neck to grab, you know, it's ridiculous.
There's so many things worse. Like, say, the Ayew one, the Jordan Ayew one, just was, wow, where he's actually grabbing.
And he's doing that.
But if they want to do it properly, then they have to look at retrospectively and then they go down things. So they've made a rod for their own back in there. Let's talk about the game, though. Fantastic win for United. Rashford scored again. What's that? It's his 10th of the season. It's a good win, that, isn't it, to be fair?
Yeah, it went well because we were up inside 5 minutes. Yeah. It was a handball, you know. Was it Will Hughes against them?
Yeah, it was Will Hughes. Yeah.
It's a soft penalty. Yeah. It's a soft penalty.
Yeah.
But with the rules, it's a penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great start.
I'd be fuming.
Because you don't want to be one down after
that. No.
But brilliant start. Bit fortuitous because you'd take that, wouldn't you? And then the second goal, 7 pass move.
Yeah, lovely, weren't it?
Loved it. That's one of my favourite Rashford goals, even though it's a tap in. And then you're 2-0 up and you're like, phew. And then the red card happens. And then it's all about 10 men. With, you know, Bruno, what a captain he's been. Sabitzer comes on, Fred, everyone just closes down.
What did Sabitzer look like?
He was good. Yeah,
I mean, tidy.
Yeah, I mean, you want him to come on 3-0 up and express himself. He actually came on and actually, you know, did really well in that midfield. So I think he'll be a good player. And it's a good 3 points, that. I think siege mentality, isn't it? We'll feel an injustice about the red, but then we got the points. And I think United will take that.
What are United title challengers now?
I don't think the title challengers. I think they've got a real chance of getting in the top four. The second goal were like Man United of old to me, six years ago, probably longer.
That's
to
confidence, that, isn't it?
It's a proper one-touch football like they used to play, in behind you and great cross.
Sort of thing City can't do at the moment.
That is like City, that kind of thing. It's a tap-in for Rashford because they pulled so many players out of position that he can just ghost in there.
So worried he's got to protect the goal there and just put boom. But no, it was Man United of old. I really liked, I think for Ten Hag as a manager, it were a real massive 3 points, but it gives him everything because they played really well 2-0 up. You've got the world against you for a real soft red card.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets the defensive players on. Martinez, a couple of blocks were unbelievable.
Oh my God,
what a player.
Bloody love him.
What a player. De Gea makes a good save, but they hang on for the result. So the world's against you. Mm. You've got everybody on. You get your defenders to come on. You see it out 2-1. 10 men, 3 points, you're really on the up and everything ultimately has gone against you a little bit, but it's actually helping.
They're the ones that are sweeter as well, you know. They're the ones that when you get in the dressing room afterwards, everybody's on the same page and you're all fighting, you've got your mates back and you've, like say, you've had all the odds against you, but still you've gone and got the 3 points. They're the ones when you get in the changing room, it's like, love this, lads, we're on to something.
But, you are. I think that game, he would have wanted to sit at 2-0, get everybody on. But the way it panned out, I think it's going to help him.
It's a better thing for him, isn't it?
A better thing for him, for sure.
It's a new experience, isn't it?
We're going to go to the Arsenal-Leicester 6-goal thriller in a second. Just want to finish off the Man United game, though, because there's only one shithouse nomination for this week, all right? It's my mate, Will Hughes, for being the worst play-acting little weasel wind-up merchant in the world ever. I do still love you, though, mate. Will Hughes, you are shithouse of the week. It's a no-brainer, mate. You're a scumbag is what you are.
When he's not swearing, he's such a nice boy, honestly. He's lovely.
Right, let's take it to Villa 2, Leicester 4. I didn't see this one coming, you know, because obviously Unai Emery's been doing really well at Villa. They seem to like know what they were doing. Everyone seems to be on the same page. Talk to me about the way Villa started the game and inviting pressure onto themselves.
Yeah, well, I've been to a few of the Villa home games recently and they've always started well. Gone one up and they've went one up.
Do they start fast as a team?
They start fast, really on the front foot. They'll draw you in, but then they'll play behind, use Watkins' pace. Everybody's up and around it. Coutinho has a great shot. He reacts quickest. 1-0 up. you think, right, Leicester struggling near the bottom, here we go. And within 2 minutes, it's level, but I don't understand the mentality. Look, I'm all up for playing football, sucking them in and playing in behind. But the setup, Leicester was so high on the press, and he still plays into midfield, yeah, and it's there to nick it, and all of a sudden it's 1-1, and the start's gone. Just see the game a little bit and go a little bit longer at that point. Just stay in front 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Leicester didn't need the lift up that you gave them.
I think it's so important when you do go 1-0 up early is to try and maintain that lead. Mm. It's not even about going and getting the second one. It's just about maintaining that lead as possible, as long as you possibly can. If you can get into half time and it's 1-0, that really gets in the opposition's head because they're thinking, right, we've got off to a shit start and we've been battling away. We still can't get a foothold in the game.
Just don't give them a sniff.
Exactly
at that.
That
point, it were really crazy. But that's the philosophy. Yeah. A lot of teams do it. We've seen it. But you really gave them an in to the game. But Villa got back in front 2-1. And then Leicester really scored two what were good goals. Yeah. I mean, he looks a real player, the left winger.
That Tete, the Brazilian. What a debut, by the way.
What a debut, yeah.
Well, I saw the interview Brendan Rodgers did afterwards and he was buzzing off him. Yeah. He said,
keep him up.
That's what I mean. He was basically saying, like, we see this in training. We've seen it from training. And it doesn't necessarily transcend to a game. You don't necessarily get the same sort of performance, he said. But for him to come in and do that on his debut, it's a good signs to start with, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Iheanacho's a finisher, but he took the goal really well. The timing of the pass from Iheanacho, the run, and really cool around Martinez, and it were a good finish. But in the end, it ends up being a real massive result for them and real boot in the balls, if you like, for Villa, who were on a little bit of a upward trend.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to move on to Newcastle, West Ham. Quite typically, I go and do a wild card on my fancy Premier League team. I put Nick Pope in goal, Botman and Trippier in defence, and obviously they're going to concede the first goal at home for about 7 years. It's just the way it goes, isn't it? Was this a little bit of an opportunity miss for West Ham, do you think?
Newcastle.
Yeah, sorry, who did I say?
West Ham. Yeah, sorry, I think it is. I think they've. I was looking at it at the weekend. In their last five Premier League games, they've only scored two goals.
Yeah.
They've probably only conceded two as well. Yeah. I think they've drawn four, and I think three of those draws have been at home. So they've got a bit of an issue at home. The thing is, though, you speak to Newcastle fans and they don't care. They're in the cup final. Yeah. They're in the top four, and they're absolutely buzzing about it. So as much as we can say that, they're just enjoying the ride, which I think is fantastic. But realistically, Spurs won. They've drawn. That door is open for Spurs and Newcastle. You know, they're not in Europe. They've got the players. They need to start scoring some goals
because they've got
the defence. You're right, you know, put them in your team, but they're just not scoring as many goals. And, you know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about 4-0s at Fulham and Almiron, and it's all just gone a little bit. So I don't know why. They've just stopped scoring goals.
Do you think for Newcastle this season, right, what do you think is the bigger objective? Is it winning that League Cup final? Or is it finishing in the Champions League places? What is going to be the biggest thing for Newcastle this season?
I think that it will be the same as what it is for Arsenal, Man United. As much as a trophy's great, they'll know if they get in the Champions League, they're the richest club in the world, and suddenly you can get anybody.
Yeah.
So, but then again, I think it might be a generational thing because there'll be older Newcastle fans going, no, I want a trophy,
I want a trophy.
But realistically, if they get in the Champions League, you know, they've got the money.
What are you saying about that?
No, I think the Champions League gives them a platform to go and sign even better again and again and again. But I would think the majority of middle-aged supporters would really give anything to get that first
when
trophy.
When was the last time they won
one? 60s, I think.
Wow.
It's been a long time. They obviously had two FA Cup
finals. It's a bit of sort of like six of one, half a dozen of the other, isn't it? Because, like I say, I think deep down, like, Champions League is the most important thing because, like you say, once they're in the Champions League, they can sign anybody. They will do
anyway. And they'll win trophies then anyway.
Exactly, they'll win trophies. But it's that emotional bit of winning a trophy. It's the day out in Wembley.
Against United.
It's a massive one for them.
So lucky it's going to be a bad day out. But,
yeah. Well, we'll see. West Ham quickly, just struggling a little bit still. Where are West Ham in the league here, by the way? 16th. Oh my gosh, 16th. They're right down in it, by the way.
They've not done as well as what Moyes or anybody from that club would think, but I think that was his 600th game in the league. David Moyes. We spoke about that experience. I think he will have enough. They've certainly got enough to
climb. They will stay up.
I don't really fear that for them, but it's difficult when you're down there. But it's a great point for them at Newcastle. They scored on a set piece, which is, again, a big
Not a good, easy thing to do against Newcastle.
But if Southampton and Bournemouth are going down, who are we having? Who's going down with them? Because that's the thing. Wolves have won. Everton
who's
have won.
Down at the
West Ham
Forest
down.
Won.
Forest won. Leicester won.
Leeds are struggling, but I really like what they're trying to do. Mm. They dominated yesterday and can win.
Quite, yeah. I'd put Leeds down at the moment.
Leeds
simply
could
because
be, yeah.
They lost at the weekend and everyone else won. Can change.
Yeah,
use a couple of games and everyone else wins.
Yeah, no,
talking of another team who did win at the weekend, a huge win for them, in fact, Wolves. 3-0 win against Liverpool, home against Liverpool. Another one I could maybe see coming as well, to be honest with you. Liverpool, could you not see this coming?
No, I'm aware of the bet we've got and that I think Liverpool are going to get top four.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, this was the weekend where I was just
you
like...
You can pay out early. He might do you a deal if
that's
you check
Paddy
out
Power
early.
Used to do. Yeah, paying out
pay
early.
Early. I just can't...
Cash
I know,
out. Do you
I can't,
cash out?
I love Liverpool being rubbish because I'm a United fan, but I really cannot get my head
It's crazy,
it.
Isn't
I
it?
I cannot get... I
the think, ball from grace has been outrageous.
It makes no sense.
I know.
I mean, they don't press. Their midfield... If you get a chance against Liverpool, you know you're going to get another chance if you miss it. I mean, 2-0 down in no time. Three, you know, second half, they score another one, so they've won both halves. There's just, they're not a shock.
John Matip, for me at the minute, looks like...
I used to love him.
I honestly, him alongside, I remember playing against him and Van Dijk, and I used to think, wow, you are the most...
Underrated.
Yeah, underrated centre-back in this whole Premier League.
Is that what we're saying? Van Dijk makes everybody at the side of him look like a world-beater because
him
out of the team, it's finished.
I know.
And when you're right in terms of the midfield, there's no press or whatever, but Wolves could have had six.
Yeah, they could have done,
So the pairing at the minute at the back is nothing. So Van Dijk missing, there's nobody else can step up to the plate to become a pair.
Matip just looks like laboursome, slow, gangly.
They're gone, I think mentally and physically.
I think mentally, because the chance he gave at 2-0 when it's a cheap little pass, they're just not with it. I mean, it's really crazy to say because they were the team that everybody didn't want to play against. You were going to be pressed, you're going to be...
I love this. Mark Goldbridge.
Is that a fine as well?
The consummate professionals.
Potential fraud.
Answer it.
Is it a mad number? Go on, answer
it. Answering it. If it's potential fraud, it could be
that's
Harry Maguire.
Klopp got your number.
That came up as potential fraud.
Yeah. it's probably Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe you've got somebody saved in your phone as potential fraud.
Darwin Nunez.
You're obviously getting these numbers. Oh, come on, talk to... Actually, it's a good shout. Talk to me about Darwin Nunez.
No, he's not a potential. I feel really sorry for Nunez and Gakpo because if you were having a pop at them... What about Mo Salah?
Yeah.
He's one of the best players we've seen in the Premier League. And
he's
nowhere. So you can't have a pop at Nunez and Gakpo, who are new players.
Yeah,
I think that... I mean, what's happened to Salah this year? I don't have any sympathy, but I am shocked.
Well, he's had a new contract. He's the highest earner they've ever had, and I don't know anything about him. But as that kind of deal and the losing of certain players, has that made him soft? He's become... really comfortable
seems
in the
to be a bit of a running theme this with new contracts, isn't it? You give big new contracts out to players, it's like they just take their kind of foot off it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Just the finger off the pulse a little bit, and even in that couple
just
percent,
just a little
mate,
percent at that level,
mate.
It's,
that's
it's
enough.
Gone.
That is enough, isn't it? I just want to give a shout out to Wolves, and which is really hard for me to do, to be honest with you, because of my years playing for West Brom. But signing Craig Dawson is a genuine masterstroke, honestly.
Scored,
to get him for absolute peanuts, Craig Dawson scored the second goal against Liverpool at the weekend. He's the sort of guy that will drag you to safety. Honestly, he will drag you to safety. He's an absolute scumbag for signing for Wolves because he played for West Brom, by the way, and the West Brom fans will hate him for it, and rightly so. I do love him still. We're going to get him on the Fozcast soon.
Never.
We'll get him on the Fozcast soon, by the way. But yeah, what a signing. People like Craig Dawson, they're exactly the sort. It's like he's doing the same for Wolves as what Sean Dyche will do for Everton.
But it's a British, an English core that's been
there
in it and seen it all his career.
Yeah.
You talk about him scoring the goal for two or three rebounds.
Yeah.
But what does he do to Trent Alexander-Arnold on the free kick?
Yeah.
He takes him 5 yards into the box. They're just in there.
Exactly.
And that, everybody else at the front's on side because he's got him in there.
Yeah.
He knows what's required.
Honestly, if there's one player in the Premier League I would hate to come up against on a set piece, on a corner or a free kick, I promise you it's Craig Dawson. The guy is a sicko. He will run through anything. Absolute dog. Great signing. You're a scumbag, though, for signing for Wolves. Right, only a couple more games to go then. We're going to go for Bournemouth, Brighton. Another one, actually, I said earlier in the day, I thought that the Southampton-Brentford game was a bit of a no-brainer. You could see Brentford were going to win it. I could see Brighton winning this game as well. Mm. I could see Brighton winning this game. a possible Champ of the Week nomination would have been Mitoma, absolutely flying, killing it. But Brighton, just as a team, you know what you're going to get from. They are similar to Brentford, really, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I love Brighton. I think, you know, lost Trazard, all the Casido problems, and they're still out there winning, still getting the clean sheets, still playing the good football. It's interesting with Bournemouth because I remember us talking at the start of the season about Gary O'Neill deserving the job, and then you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you did.
You give him the job, and then reality bites. It's just like you can't buy a win, you can't buy a goal at the moment. They're going to go down, and you know, for Brighton, that's the sort of game where it's a good win for them because when you're expected to win, it doesn't always work like that. It's a bit like Newcastle against West Ham, isn't it? So they're winning. I'm very interested to see where Brighton, Brentford, and Fulham are going to end up.
It'll all be very close.
It's not a joke. They're not lucky. No. They deserve to be there.
Sixth in the league, Brighton.
I would expect one of them to get Europa League.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they have done really exceptionally well.
It's no Europe for him. Everyone else is going to be in Europe, tired. Yeah. You know, it's how you manage your squad.
Mitoma, that's his fifth goal in his last eight games, by the way. And if you haven't got him in your fancy Premier League team by now, get him in. He's cheap as chips as well. What a player. Inspired signing. Forest against Leeds. This is a huge win. I want to talk about Keylor Navas, all right? First of all, what a signing, yeah? Brilliant signing to get him in on transfer deadline day. Secondly, his performance on his debut for Forest as well. Save after save after save.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, he hasn't played in the Premier League, but he's got the experience. I think he's won three Champions Leagues. Yeah. You bring somebody in like that, the rest of the team know it's a serious signing.
Yeah, they look at that like,
they look at that thinking, we mean business here. Yeah. An incredible performance, a great save early on that obviously, even when you've won everything you've won, your debut playing in a new league, he would have wanted to make that first save and then grew into an unbelievable performance. I thought Leeds were really on the front foot, especially first half. Brennan Johnson scores an unbelievable
goal.
Lovely
goal, weren't it, yeah.
And Leeds have got beat 1-0 again. And it seems to be a real recurring theme for them that they play really well. I saw them play at Villa, played really well. Lost 2-1.
Yeah.
Lost 1-0 here after playing really well. I'm starting to fear for them a little bit, even though I really like what they are as a team and what they've done. But there's not enough goals in the team.
Can I give you my sort of synopsis on what Keylor Navas is as a goalkeeper, right? I think Keylor Navas, I don't think he's the most technically gifted goalkeeper in the world, like playing out from the back, saves, all that kind of stuff. But do you know what he is? I think he is outrageously effective. He just knows how to stop the ball going in the back of the net. And I think that is sometimes better than being the other way. Do you know what I mean? Incredibly tactically brilliant, all this kind of beautiful hands, all that kind of stuff. But certain times it just falls short. And I think what Forrest have done is a bit of a masterstroke, to be fair. When Dean Henderson comes back, though, do you think he goes straight in? It's tough, this, isn't it? This is where it gets tough.
Well, apparently they still want to buy him, don't they?
Of course they do, yeah.
Look, Dean Henderson's a very, very good goalie, but he's still very young and naive and inexperienced at Premier League level, even though he's now starting to make his way and he were performing really well before he got injured, of course. But when you bring a guy in like Navas, he's not coming in to watch Dean Henderson and sit on the side and think, oh, well, good work, Dean, good save. He's going to want to play.
Yeah. Is he permanent or alone?
I think he's only on loan.
He's alone, yeah.
But maybe go back with Henderson. Well, he's alone as well.
Yeah. So both are on loan. His performance yesterday warranted that he would stay in the team. And ultimately, I always look at teams should have two really good goalies because things can happen and they're going to have to fight and do whatever. But when you have such a drop off behind the first choice goalie, when you get a problem, that can send
that
you into
problem.
Relegation problems. So it is a masterstroke.
And that Hennessy, to be fair, when United played him in the cup.
Yeah, he had a couple of bad ones, didn't he?
He's going to cost you goals, I think, really.
Yeah. So it's a really good signing. They can choose between them. They're going to be fighting it out. Mm. They've got two then good goalies. Yeah. Wayne's a really good, if we say now, backup.
Yeah.
And he's come in tough situations and circumstances, but done okay. But ultimately, to stay in the league, you have to have two in every position normally that are at it.
Yeah.
And it's a good sign.
If you're in a relegation fight, a backup goalie is probably going to get you relegated no matter how good they are because you're going to be busy.
Yes,
it's
sure.
Probably the most important position. And yesterday, he was busy and they've kept
a clean
sheet.
But a lot of teams don't make that call. Mm-hmm. And they'll go with an out-and-out number one and you'll have a number three kind of. And the number two's a bit... And it's fingers crossed, oh, we don't need that all season, guys. Whereas if you're doing it properly, you have two number ones
It's an important position, mate. The goalie is not a very important position, you know. Shout out to Forest, by the way, 13th in the league now, you know, 6 points ahead of the drop zone. That's like a decent little return so far. Steve Cooper, shout out to him. Even though you have signed about 100 players, it does seem at least that he knows what he wants to do and he knows the players that he wants to play in certain positions and starting 11 and all that kind of stuff. So fair play to Nottingham Forest. I know we don't give you a lot of love on here, but I actually quite not like Nottingham Forest, to be fair. Anyway, finally, we're going to finish on an absolute bore draw, 0-0. Chelsea, Fulham, Friday night's game. I was actually quite excited for this because you get to see all these new signings, Mudryk and Fernandes, and just failed to deliver all of it, didn't it?
I was gutted because I was going to watch it, but then I'd arranged a few weeks ago to go down the pub and I made the right move.
Yes, you did make the right move.
I didn't watch it. I said there was some Chelsea fan in the pub. He came walking back from the TV depressed. I went, have you lost? He went, no, 0-0. And I went, I'm glad. I'm really pleased because I was looking forward to watching it. So.
Yeah, it was a bit of a miserable game. Yeah. Mudryk came off at halftime. Apparently he was ill. Didn't really do anything. Fernandes, to be fair to him, he looked lovely, didn't he? Do you know what I mean? It's an awful lot of money. I like seeing a young player like Fernandes at that age, what is he, 21 years old, playing that sort of like defensive midfield. He kind of drops in, gets the ball off the centre-backs, runs up there. His range of passing was lovely, all that kind of stuff. But just nothing.
They'll be better now because João Félix is back, I think.
Yeah, they need him back, don't they? Yeah.
I think he looked quality in the hour he played before he got sent off. But I think that Fulham are a good side as well. Yeah, I mean, Chelsea will think we should win that. Maybe you should. But Fulham
had to make a couple of decent saves, didn't they?
But again, we talked about the three, your Fulham, your Brighton, and who were the other
ones?
Brentford. Yeah. These managers have done unbelievable work. And you expect a Chelsea to beat that kind of team, a Fulham at home. It's not that easy.
No chance.
He's done an unbelievable job, and they're a good team, Fulham.
Yeah, they are.
They're a good team, and Kepa did have to make some saves. More so, ultimately, than Leno for Fulham.
Yeah.
He got a rush of blood a couple of times and got away with a couple of things.
Good defending after Tim Ream.
Yeah, but they didn't have massive chances, Chelsea.
No, they didn't.
Because Fulham was set up properly.
Yeah.
And it's a tough league. Mm. And, it's not good enough when you think of the outlay for Chelsea.
I want to talk about this quickly. We're gonna do the quiz in a minute, guys, but is it a bit of a problem giving young sort of 21-year-old players, you're paying an awful lot of money for, but giving them 8-year contracts on, I don't know, 150 odd grand a week? For me, that seems a little bit, that's a risky game to be playing, isn't it?
You've got to have done a lot, in my opinion, of background work and homework on them.
Because
they won't have done.
No, they won't have done.
If you get that 8-year contract, and we touched on it with Salah, you can suddenly become a little bit soft. Life changes, you've lost that hunger, you're a multi-millionaire, you've got 8 years worth of salary, whatever happens, it's tough. Yeah. And if these guys haven't got that mentality, it can be a real problem. I wouldn't know well enough. I think clubs are trying to do it to protect their own investments, but to give that kind of contract
super
to certain
risky.
Players, I think it's a risky
strategy. How many times have you seen players where they might have a little knock or a niggle or an injury, right? And there's certain types of players that will just go, I'm playing, don't worry about it, I'll get through it, it's fine, give me an injection or whatever.
They can miss a week's training, you know they're going to be there on Saturday.
On the Saturday, yeah. I've also seen players who are earning 10 times that player that would happily take an injection who go, nah, I'm not fit. And then this is like 3 or 4 days before the game, and I've seen the physio going, well, you've got 3 or 4 days left, You know, let's get a little bit nearer to it. And they're going, no, I'm not playing. And you think, oh my gosh, you've made up your mind already. And that's the bit that worries me a little bit, is when you've got that much, like, you've got, that's what, 50 million quid ready, guaranteed, coming your way. I'm thinking, I don't like that so much. But we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't go crazy, batshit crazy or anything like that. Right, lads, are we ready for the quiz?
Yep.
We're going to do fastest finger first, yeah?
Okay, mate, okay.
They're ready for the rose to come and sit between these two ugly thorns, yeah? Come on, boys. Right, here we go then. Football fill-in, world-famous quiz. 10 questions, fastest finger first. Jamie, you ready with the questions?
Always ready.
Are they good ones this week?
I hope so, All right,
let's go. Come on, Fozzie on top yet again.
What was the only game to finish 0-0 this week?
Chelsea. Fulham.
Mark Goldridge.
You didn't even respond to that.
Chelsea. I know, I thought you'd be in there with that. Right, we'll get him warmed up.
That was nice, nice easy one to start you off with. Who played for Crystal Palace, Aston Villa and Middlesbrough?
Southgate.
Yeah, Mark Goldridge.
Have you told him these questions?
No.
And I don't even like Southgate.
Off field, left field question.
I don't even know how I knew that one. Jamie, what... don't make it so obvious.
I'm sorry. What game had the most goals in this game week?
Villa.
Villa.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben.
Obviously Ben.
Who won the Golden Boot in the 2014-15 season?
Aguero,
yeah.
Good one.
Come on.
That's the only Golden Boot he won it once.
Give me a smile when I get
2-1-1.
What club was João Félix at before joining Atletico Madrid? Before joining Athletic.
Yeah, I'm just finishing your question for you.
Benfica.
Mark, he's not performing well today.
You've got to wait, Ben.
Pressure.
Okay, this is to the nearest number. How many England caps does Ashley Cole have?
79.
84. 86.
Ben is
higher, isn't it?
He has 107.
Wow!
107 caps for
Ashley Cole. That was fuzzy. 3-2-1. Ashley Cole, by the way, is one of the most underappreciated left backs in Premier League history. Do you not think he's underappreciated? Do you think he's appreciated?
He always gets put in as the best left back.
All right, cool. 3-2-1.
Who was the first sponsor of the Premier League?
Ford.
Barclaycard.
Nope.
I know this.
Carling.
It was
Carling.
Ooh,
4-2-1.
Why did you say Barclaycard?
I just need one more and then I've won.
4-2-1.
You've got three more questions.
You're on one, by the way. You're losing.
Dave,
you're such
need to
a
start
loser.
Shouting in, Dave.
Don't start worrying about me. You're not doing very well either.
Dave, just get in there. Come on.
I need to change seats so I can get next to him and look at the answers.
Who scored Newcastle's disallowed goal in their match?
Joe
Willock. Game with? Ben.
Get in there. Come on, Fozzy. The comeback's on. 4-3-1. Sorry for shouting. Sorry.
Which club did Glenn Hoddle join after being sacked as England manager in 1999?
Swindon. Tottenham.
Nope.
You both said Swindon, so the question is...
You both said Swindon?
You said Tottenham.
Yeah.
Southampton.
Oh, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
4-3-1. This is the last question.
Last question.
I want to get it.
You've got no say in it. You may as well go and sit down.
I've still won. Even if you get this, I've still won.
Why?
Because we both won.
No, we'll go to a tie-break.
Tie-break.
I'm going to get it.
Who was the only away team to win this game week? Can't look at the board.
He's looked at the Leicester. Board. He looked at the board.
It was Leicester.
I wasn't even
looking. It was Leicester. Everybody looked at the board.
I didn't. I was the only one that looked at the board.
Everybody looked at the board. You shouldn't have the board there then, right? Four all. Jamie?
I'm going to have to give it to you. I'm
yes, sorry. I love that, my boy. Oh, give me something.
I'm just looking here.
We've got a time
I'm gonna,
break.
I'm going to have to give it to
you. We've got a time break.
I can't believe that.
We should have turned the board around.
No, it's because there's a Leicester shirt behind him up there.
What? You were looking over there. There's going to be outrage.
Don't hate the player. Yeah,
We've got a tie break. Come on. Have we got a tie break?
We do have a tie break.
That is scandalous.
I can't believe it.
I'm not even taking part in a tie break.
You can have the win.
I've been absolutely wrong. You can have the win.
4-4-1.
I'm out.
Come on.
That is disgraceful.
Tie break question.
Are we going to do this properly?
No.
Come on.
I think it's a disgrace. I will lose on a tie break and it's not fair.
Right, even if you lose, yeah, I'll say that you are still a superior quiz master, all right?
I'm disgusted. My head's gone now.
Come on.
I'm like England on penalties.
Yeah, but I bet you now, watch, he's going to ask a question and he's going to go, meh.
Okay, so as we know...
But you're getting a tie break on a question that I didn't get. I'm 4-3 and you're getting... I didn't even answer that.
I got 4 right, you got 4 right.
But you're getting a shot at a tie break when I didn't have a shot to win.
Tie break.
So as we know, Aguero won the Golden Boot in the 2014-15 season, but how many goals did he score?
23.
He scored 26, so Ben was...
It's got to be an accurate figure,
hasn't it? No, it's tiebreakers. It's whoever's closer. Whoever's closest.
Oh, whoever's closest.
Yeah. Their comments are getting
come on.
This is the winner.
This is the biggest disgrace.
This
I've
means
ever
so
had.
Much.
No. Nearest cups. And you've got to be Bob on, haven't you, for
I'm
the goals?
Like, I'm like the phoenix from the plane today. I came from absolutely nowhere and I came and stormed at a last second back post. Bob, add some of that, you little win.